When you were a kid, did you ever not have your homework done and say, well, the dog ate my homework? That's a classic excuse, and it really is just used now as a metaphor for something happened. I don't want to tell you what, but things have gone wrong. And really, the IT glitch is starting to take its place. Because whenever you get messed around by someone that works for you or by someone from whom you're buying something, like an airline ticket or whatever, and something goes wrong, what do they say? Oh, it's an IT glitch. Really? An IT glitch? Joining me now to talk about IT glitches becoming the new dog ate my homework is Tony Jakes. He's Director of Issues Outcomes Proprietary Limited. He's got quite a few things to say about IT glitches, or what they call IT glitches anyway. Tony Jakes, welcome back to Counterpoint.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Well, not bad until I start to think of the IT glitch excuses that I've been given in my life. But you must have some tremendous examples of IT glitches. Well, what are called IT glitches. And we read about them. We get told on television it was an IT glitch. But we don't get to hear the story behind. Have you got an example of something where there's a good story behind and, you know, Bob and Mary Stringbag, members of the public like me, just wouldn't know?
The problem, I think, really is that IT glitches are becoming more common, the implications are getting wider, and companies are simply failing to catch up with the need to have proper reasons to explain why things went wrong. And that's really disrespectful to the public. I think these days people are much more computer literate, they understand what things are, and it's really disrespectful to say, oh, it's an IT glitch. Yeah, which could mean just about anything.
Yes, it pretty much says either, look, you're an idiot and you wouldn't understand what the problem is, so I'm just giving you this, you know, paragraph heading IT glitch and trust me, there's something underneath that. Or alternatively, the person who hears that perceives it as, you just don't want to tell me what the real problem was and you're treating me like an idiot. So it is very disrespectful, and I think taken as disrespectful by people who hear it.
And there's another problem too, and that is that nobody knows what IT glitch even means. It's become laughable. These days it's come to mean just about everything from a major criminal activity, which I'll come to in just a moment, or a relatively minor personal inconvenience. For example, in the last few months, an IT glitch was blamed when a company ran an online free pizza competition, which shut down the company's website. An IT glitch was also used when unexpected massive demand shut down the premiere of the new season of Game of Thrones on pay TV. Now, these might seem pretty trivial, but they're not trivial if you happen to be a Game of Thrones fan or you need your regular pizza fix.
And
at the same time, the excuse IT glitch was used when it was revealed that criminals in Australia were using a loophole in the banking system to launder millions of dollars of illegal funds through ATM machines. So you've gone from something trivial to something absolutely huge.
Now, what's your best example that where the public don't understand what's happened behind? Have you got an example of that?
One example I really like where the horrible truth was very, very slowly exposed was a few years ago when an Australian bank had a major outage which affected the payment system and millions of people were not able to access their ATMs, their bank accounts, their FPOS. Beneficiaries didn't get their welfare payments through. People's salaries didn't get paid. People's mortgage payments didn't happen. And in some cases, it was reported that people's housing settlements didn't go through because they couldn't access their money.
That's terrible, isn't it? I mean, housing settlement's a big issue. And you can say, well, people should plan ahead for disasters, but many, many people count on being able to get that welfare check or their salary out of the bank the day it arrives.
You're absolutely right. And we are increasingly dependent upon IT systems. Of course, that's a cliche, but it's absolutely true. And the trouble is that organisations haven't kept up with the way to explain these things. So in this particular case, on day one, they said, well, it'll be fixed by later today. Mm. And then that afternoon, they said, nah, might be tomorrow. Then the following day, they said, could be tonight or might be in the weekend. And on day four, this very large institution said, we can't actually nominate a date. And it drifted on in various forms for very close to 2 weeks. And the important thing that happens, Amanda, in crises like this an information vacuum is created. And if organizations don't give correct information, other people leap in with great glee to fill that information vacuum, sometimes ill-informed, sometimes malicious. And in this case, the company ultimately said, we believe the outage was caused by a corrupted file, which is not IT glitch, but is just about as unbelievable. And what happened was that organizations like the Reserve Bank and APRA and the Consumers Association all went absolutely ballistic and said, excuse me, what? You've brought down a huge section of the banking system by
one corrupted file.
By one corrupted file. Does that seem credible? Please explain this to us. Now, what happened then was a wonderful example of what companies do to try and cover up.
Yeah.
It seems like a good idea, but isn't. What the bank said was, we've appointed one of the four big accounting companies to investigate what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the face of it, that seems highly transparent and a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, as many people know, including politicians, and yes, I know you're not a politician anymore, is that setting up an inquiry is a way of shutting down discussion. So the company can say legitimately, oh, well, you know, it would be inappropriate for us to comment on this because there's an inquiry taking place, there's an investigation taking place. Here's the really extraordinary thing. The truth behind that particular bank's major problem wasn't revealed until over a month later at the AGM, and the CEO said, yes, it was indeed a software error, and there was a computer patch that should have been put in place by a third party. In other words, let's blame somebody else.
I get that, but do we accept that that is the honest answer, that someone else should have put a patch in place?
I think that probably is the answer. But
well, then it's not really blaming someone else, is it? It's actually apportioning blame where it belongs.
But they said it was a third party, and when they said third party, my attitude is you can't blame third parties when things go wrong.
Why not if they have, in fact, not done the right thing?
Well, there's a principle in crisis management that saying it wasn't us, it was somebody else, is really a bad idea, even if it's true.
I agree with you, but if it is true, I think it's fair enough to say that, provided you add, but in the end, we're responsible because we engage the third party.
That's exactly my point. You have to take responsibility. And the point is
there's not enough of that these days.
These cases are getting really, really big. Let me give you a couple of examples. In the middle of last year, IT glitch was used as an excuse when a system fault temporarily shut down the entire metro rail system in Melbourne. And in June, in the UK, a contract worker accidentally turned off the supposedly uninterruptible power supply to a key data centre belonging to British Airways. And some idiot then thought, let's just switch it back on again without the proper reboot protocols. And as a result, 800 flights.
It's not funny, I know, but it sort of is funny, isn't it? There's always some idiot somewhere.
Yeah, 800 flights out of Heathrow and Gatwick.
Gee, I wonder if that idiot still has his job. Do you reckon?
Yeah.
If he wasn't really properly trained, why shouldn't he still have his job?
Well, that's true, and there's often a huge backstory behind these things. I don't know if you remember the famous BP oil spill disaster in the Gulf of Mexico, when BP said it was actually caused by one of their contractors. Now, the inquiries that took place showed that was true. It was caused by a contractor, but it just wasn't smart to say that when there was a huge disaster occurring.
I think the only area where we even don't disagree on this, I think it is fair enough to point out that it was a contractor if a contractor has done something that was not correct. Well, I've had this responsibility as a minister where some work was subcontracted out and they subcontracted something. Those people were hopeless, just did something appalling. And in the end, you have to take responsibility. But it's fair enough as well, in fact, I think mandatory, to let the public know exactly what happened. And that will involve saying, well, it was a contractor. If you use the, well, it was a contractor to evade responsibility, well, you're just a cheapskate. If you take responsibility and tell the truth, namely that it was a contractor, I think that's the better way to go.
Yeah, there was a famous case in the US a few years ago where there was a massive oil spill on a place called Huntington Beach in California. which was caused when a tanker accidentally ran over its own anchor and holed the hull and oil came ashore.
Ouch.
And the American head of the particular oil company concerned went to the site, stood there in the oil on the beach with oil up around his gumboots and said, very famously, "Our lawyers say it's not our fault, but we're going to act as if it's our fault and we're going to clean it up," which was, I think, a brilliant response. It was cleaned up, and these days that particular incident is never used in textbooks as examples of how to do things wrong, because the company basically said, it isn't our fault, but we're going to act as if it is, and they did act as if it was, and they did a great job. And so I think you're right when you say a contractor is not an excuse, but if you explain the whole story to the public, rather than saying IT glitch, saying this is what happened, take the public into your confidence, to treat them with respect, then I think that companies will be moving forward into doing proper communication.
Indeed. I'm talking with Tony Jakes, Director of Issues Outcomes Proprietary Limited, and we're talking about, well, the IT glitch. Is it the dog ate my homework? The new excuse for corporations. Let's just blame it on IT. Tony, you mentioned about, we discussed briefly, taking responsibility outside of the issue of IT. Why do you think it is that companies and people as individuals seem to want to avoid taking responsibility? Because stepping up to the plate and saying, here I am, I'm the rabbit, you don't have to keep chasing me down the hole anymore, you don't have to expend any more energy, I'm the one, or we're the one, or whatever, is usually the better and smarter thing to do. I had someone who worked for me once who came up and said, it was me, do you want me to pack my desk and go? I did it. I made the mistake, I stuffed up, I can leave this afternoon if you like. And of course, you say, oh, get out of here, we don't want you to leave. But if she'd hidden it for 2 weeks and driven me crazy trying to find out where our system had gone wrong, why someone had done it, then I might, well, in her case, I wouldn't have. But in some cases, you would say, well, yeah, okay, you can go. But it wouldn't be because of the mistake. It was because you didn't fess up and take responsibility. Now, why do people avoid that?
This is a big problem, and I mean, my area of expertise is in business and corporations, and we know from research that about half of all corporate crises are caused by management. That is to say, either a management decision or a management lack of decision. And unfortunately, senior managers just don't like saying, I made a mistake. Often it's because they're very highly paid, they've got very well-matured egos, and it goes against the grain to say it was my fault. And that's happens at a corporate level, and it happens at an individual level too. But here's another problem, and that is that you need to find the right way to fess up. There's ways of saying, I made a mistake and I'm really sorry and I'm going to fix it. And then there's going on national television and baring your breast and exposing everything that went wrong. And that's also a mistake. And sometimes people think that, you know, let's go on Oprah and explain it all is somehow a way to admit wrong. So between not admitting it and going overboard and over-explaining, if you like, there's a compromise in here. And I think that you need to apologise and say, I'm sorry. And you have to say it genuinely, not I'm sorry if you were offended, but I'm sorry that you were offended. Or not I'm sorry that mistakes were made. That's another classic one. Mistakes were made is used often by companies. Is quite different from saying, I made a mistake. And then you have to say, I'm sorry. And then finally you have to say, and this is what I'm doing to put it right and make sure it doesn't happen again. And unfortunately, it's really hard to do that.
Do you know, I haven't listened to Parliament enough over the last couple of years to say if this is still the case, but it used to be the case, and I support it being the case, that if you were asked to withdraw something, some people would get up and say, look, you know, if I've said something that's offended people, then I withdraw. And the Speaker or the President would usually not allow that. Because if you're told to withdraw it, you're told to withdraw it. You've said the wrong thing. It's not you don't get to say the wrong thing provided nobody's upset about it. You know, it just doesn't matter whether someone was upset or not. If you've said the wrong thing, you apologise for it and you withdraw. Simple as that. But a lot of people try and use that, oh, well, if I've offended someone, well, no, you've done the wrong thing. Just fess up.
I think that people try to find ways to use what we call non-apologies because it's really hard to do something else. And this is a big problem in life, it's a big problem in corporations. And going back to our example of IT, it's really hard to say, not only have we made a mistake, but this is what we're going to do to stop it happening again. And in IT glitches, which we've been talking about, very, very rarely does the organization say, we've identified the problem and we've corrected it and we believe we've taken steps to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Mm. Well, you've given strength to my arm. The next time someone says, I'm sorry, it was an IT glitch, I'm going to say to them, really? What does that mean? Who gave you the information that it was an IT glitch? And chase that rabbit down the hole. I'm not going to let anyone say that to me again without giving them a little bit of heat at least. Whether I get the proper answer is another matter.
I like to put it this way. When somebody says to me, mistakes were made, I like to reply by saying, yep, and you just made another one.
Tony Jakes, thanks for joining us again on Counterpoint.
Thank you, my pleasure.
That was Tony Jakes, Director of Issues Outcomes Proprietary Limited. We're talking about the term IT glitch. Let's blame the IT glitch. How easy is that? It's like the dog ate your homework.